For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's a new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
Celebrating in the streets in Lubbock,
wow.
Because Texas Tech Monday night will be playing for the national championship.
Well, welcome one, welcome all to the Tortillas and Takes podcast. This is the voice of Jeremy Gillen, and it is the season of interviews. We have, are, and will continue to collect all voices of Red Raider alumni and friends of the pod to chime in about their experiences as student athletes, as warriors, and believers in the Scarlet and Black. In the passenger seat today is a man who needs no introduction and really needs to just leave me alone most of the time. It is Mr. Albie Shore. Hey, Albie.
We are taking the comment that the pod would be better without Albie Shore to heart, and I am taking the back seat today, and letting you know, Germ, you got the driver's seat, so let's get it going.
But it feels good. It feels good. So let me tell you, on today's episode, we are bringing in one of the coolest wide receivers to come through Texas Tech, somebody who split time between the reviled Tuberville and the revered Kingsbury, someone who's had it slung his way from the likes of Seth Dagey, Davis Webb, Baker Mayfield, and yes, Patrick Mahomes. It is none other than Bradley Marquez. Welcome to Tortillas and Takes, Bradley. Man, how has your summer been? What are you up to?
It's been good, man. I appreciate you guys having me on. And but yeah, the summer's been good. Got a little one home from school now, so a little bit more hectic in the household. But other than that, I haven't done a whole lot of traveling yet, so hopefully get some vacations here towards the back half of the summer.
See, now you realize and you recognize just how great school is, right? Like, it's not really – I now get it. Like, my parents are always like, you need to stay in school. They weren't telling me to get, like, smarter, educated. They really just wanted me out of the house and not at home.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Now you understand.
For sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. 100%. I understand it now. And he's still little, too. So, man, it's to keep tabs on them, man. It was a big help having him be in school. So, last year was the first year in school. So, we'll follow it up with kindergarten this year.
And they'll go all the way. Bradley,
yeah,
so
right.
I'm going to be honest, my man. I was, you know, doing a little bit of research for the pod, and something came across my research. Bullcorn Sports. You have been busy, my man. Will you tell us about this podcast? First of all, what is that title?
Yeah, so me and some guys, man, we tried to do a podcast like before 2020 hit, and we tried to do it, and we had a group of guys, and it just didn't work out. You know, you got to stay consistent with it, obviously. So we kind of put on the back burner and just never came up again until you know, a few months ago, somebody else brought it back up, and different guys doing this one, but still buddies of mine. And just talking sports, man. I mean, we do that on a daily basis anyways. You know, on the weekends, we get together. Anytime there's kind of any gatherings or big games, we're always together talking sports anyways. So we decided why not cut a podcast with it, see how it goes. So just felt it out for the first few weeks. And, man, we just ended up having a good time. Like, you know, just being able to vibe and talk sports for, you know, once a week, you know. And we talk a little more local sports as well. So we get the high schools around here, obviously. Football's king out here in Texas and even West Texas. So we've interviewed Permian players, Odessa High players, Midland Lee, Legacy now. Still need to get some Midland High guys. But anyways, the surrounding areas. So just give this area, you know, kind of something to look forward to. A lot of oil field traffic going on as well. So it gives these oil field workers a podcast to listen to that's from the area, from guys from this area. So we just enjoy doing it. So that's kind of what we've been doing. I think we're probably like 13 episodes in now, and just kind of still filling it out, still early for us and seeing which kind of direction we want to take it and everything, but it's definitely been enjoyable. And to answer your question with the title, Bullcorn, we're shooting back and forth a bunch of different ones, and man, I was like, you know, we're just bullshitting, so to speak. We're just bullshitting, talking about sports, but we can't put bullshit on the title, so we said bullcorn, and it just kind of came together that way. So
I was going to make a joke about that, but I'm glad you did. So yeah. I will say, so you have experience that we don't. I mean, we're all talking sports here, but you also have the experience of being, you know, a collegiate and pro athlete too. So having that insight in there is definitely something that I know people that listen will definitely want to hear about.
For sure. Yeah, that's what it is, man. It's stories. Everybody has a story. And, you know, I've played with a bunch of different guys throughout my time playing, that being baseball, football, different locker rooms, players, stories, outings. So, you know, people have always, even around this area, they've asked me about it, you know. So sometimes these things come up throughout the podcast. So I really enjoyed it. Just kind of having that locker room feel again, you know, just talking sports, talking with the boys and telling the stories.
Yeah, well, let's talk some more sports today. How about that? There's so much we could talk about, right? But there's not enough time. So let me set a tone here pretty early and tell you that you have probably one of the most iconic touchdown celebrations in Texas Tech history. It's this beautiful, if nobody knows what I'm talking about, it is this beautiful, like, double guns up, cocking and shooting mimicry of, like, Raider Red's opening salute. Brother, what is the inspiration for that? Did you just, like, it did just come out naturally and you're like, oh, this has got to stick?
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. So, who did we play that day? I guess we played, I think it was Northwestern State or something, the first time I did it. So anyways, I was just in the moment. I think it was like a 40, 50-yard pass. I think the dude was even like number 82 playing corner. And I'm like, man, this dude's wearing 82. Come on, dude. This dude cannot guard me. Anyways, it's a deep pass. I'm looking at the Jumbotron. And, you know, running. It was one of those. It was an awesome feeling, and it just came to me, and I just did it. I don't know why. It just happened, right? So that was it. I didn't think anything of it. Well, the next game, we always have a hype video of, you know, the highlights from the game before, offense, defense, everybody, the whole team watches it before we hop on the bus to head to the stadium. And our, you know, video team is amazing, those guys that are still there as well. And they always edit it, good music, cool little edits in there. And they showed that clip, and then they put, like, the gun effects over it. And it was sick. Like, it was awesome the way they edited it. And everybody in the room, you know, all the cheer, oh, man, that's sick. Like, you know, so riding over to the stadium, I'm like, that's my thing now. I'm doing it. I'm just going to keep doing it. That effect, so really kind of the video department, I mean, like I said, I don't know how I don't know why or how it just came upon me to do it that day, but the way they edited it, and it just made it real cool. So I was like, this is my thing now, so I'm just going to start doing it. So, yeah, that's how it happened, man. And I wish it would have stuck around. Those are a few guys I played with. Reginald Davis started doing it when I left. It was kind of like, you know, tip of the cap. So I enjoyed watching that as well. It would have been nice if, you know, I thought it was a pretty cool celebration. So I figured it would be nice if it was passed down. So, but anyways, that's how it was. And I enjoyed it. And it was a great time.
So we got to tell the guys now, like J.J. Sparkman and you know, Miles Price, like, hey, you got to bring it back. All right. That's what the young guys got to do now. Too,
and Lloyd Spongy, because he's from out that way.
Lowe would be a good one for sure. Yeah,
for sure. So we got to pass that down. And Lowick, I'm sure everybody's friend of the pod. Hey, you listening to this? You got to make sure to bring that in this upcoming season. Funny you talked about the media team. Also, our producer was also on the media team during that time. I'm sure he had some. I almost guarantee you he knows the exact video that you're talking about too. So definitely something that we're gonna have to ask him about.
For sure. Yeah.
So I do, you know, Brad, I think one of the unique things about your time here at Tech was that you did play under two different head coaches, right? So you were in school during the Tuberville years that I know some fans aren't really too fond of because of how he left. And so you were also here during the Kingsbury years, which at the beginning everybody loved, right? And so with that change, how was it going from Tuberville and that whole, you know, situation with him leaving to kind of the much more laid back, much more, you know, players coach in Kingsbury?
Yeah, so I'll even take it back one more with Mike Leach. Mike Leach is the one who offered me initially. And so he offered me when I was in high school. I was a sophomore, and I was a running back, though. So I was like, I'm not going to Texas Tech, not to play running back, you know. So, great offer. I loved it, you know, and I appreciated it. But I was like, with Leach, I'm not going because I'm a running back. They don't touch the ball enough. And so anyways, never really considered them, honestly. And until Tuberville got there, man, they hit the recruiting trail hard. And man, they were down here in Odessa, which is obviously not too far. So it's pretty easy to get to. They were down here pretty consistent. And so I really liked that. They ended up creating a relationship with my mom, my family. I played baseball, so I'd have games in Lubbock. They'd have guys go out there and watch the games. I've had Seth Dagey at my games, Sticks, Stephen Sheffield, Taylor Potts. They've all gone to a high school baseball game of mine while I was getting recruited and stuff. So that was always really cool. And I just felt after that, man, I think Tuberville and his recruiting style was huge. And I think that just shows the sentiment, like our 2011 class that he recruited is one of the best classes. Obviously, they're doing that a little bit now, but until that class is done, I think that's still the best class from top to bottom, and I think ranking-wise as well, that Tech's ever had. So, he could recruit, but, I mean, as far as from, like, a coaching perspective, I probably said in the 2 years that he was there, like, a handful of interactions with him, so to speak. He kind of let his coordinators just kind of coach the team. It's not a knock on him. He was just more, I think, more business savvy, like did real good with the donors. We get our Jumbotron up. He knew how to talk to the media. He knew how to recruit. And I think that's just to the extent of the relationship that I really ever had with him after that. And so I really didn't know him. And now my coordinators and my receivers coaches, I had a lot more better relationship with. So when he left, the way he did, obviously everybody knows that story. He left at the recruiting dinner and stuff, which is pretty crazy. And the way I got that news was I was just I didn't have a morning class that day. So I didn't have to be up till, 10 or so. I had 11 or 10 o'clock class or something. So I'm sleeping in and my phone's just going off. And it's like, hey, like, Tuberville just left. They called like an impromptu meeting with whoever was in the facility at the time, and he just left. And I was like, what? So anyways, we obviously hear about that. And then when it comes to Kingsbury, when he came in, man, awesome. I'm so glad I got to be able to play for him. Super players coach, man. He's one of the best coaches I've ever had. Being understanding me, bringing out the best in me and everything like that. And his personality, it just fit. And, I'm always going to be a Kingsbury fan. And like I said, I think that was some of the best times that I had was under Kingsbury for sure.
I mean, so that means you're rocking with the Cardinals then, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, well, see, now I grew up a Cowboys fan, so I'm still a Cowboy fan, but, and my special teams coach from the NFL, John Fossil, he's the special teams guy with the Cowboys, and that's another one of my coaches, that I really, really appreciate and honored to have been able to play with. So, but yeah, I rock with the Cardinals. I'm always going to ride for Kingsbury
and
those
that.
Guys, man.
Well, yeah, so you also have, and then you have Neil Brown. Neil Brown was your OC while you were at Tech as well during the Tuberville times. He's now the head coach at West Virginia. So really, it seems like your coaches have really, spread their wings and been able to fly since your time there. And while you were at Tech, I mean, do you have a favorite game while you were able to play there?
For sure, the TCU game, the Thursday night game that we had my junior year. We broke out the gray unis. We'd never seen them before. Obviously, that TCU rivalry kind of started heating up around then as well. They had some good players and stuff. And, man, when we got to the locker room that day, it's Thursday night. We're prime time. Only game on TV, and we get in the locker room, and we see this whole entire gray uniform, top to bottom gray. We've never seen that ever. So that's already getting us hype, And then it's a pretty big game at that point in time. And, man, I was able to catch the game-winning touchdown from Davis Webb when he comes in. And, that was the guns. That was the celebration right there that I felt, man. The crowd was rocking. That was probably my favorite game that I've got to play, especially at the Jones. Probably one of my favorite games. The other one would probably be the Holiday Bowl when we beat Arizona State, if you're going to talk about, kind of neutral side bowl game type situation. Those would probably be my two favorites.
Oh, great, great pick. I mean, that Arizona State game, I thought we're going to win a natty the next year. Right?
I know, right?
After that win, I was like, oh, we're never losing again. There it is.
I know. That year was crazy, too. We went 7-0 to start Kingsbury's run. We're ranked 10 in the BCS at the time, and we go down to OU. And, man, we just made too many mistakes, and we just went on a little 5-game skid where we couldn't even get the win, and then finally – got it back at the bowl game. But I'll tell you about that team. That was our best team. I feel like we had our best chance. And I think it would have been good, but I think one of the underrated players on that team that people don't realize who it really kind of hurt us was D'Artuan Bush. When he went out for that amount of time. When we went on that little skid, he was injured, and so he was out. He came back for the Arizona State game, and you see a difference. I don't know what it was, but I don't want to say it's just because of him. Obviously, there's a whole lot of other factors, but that's a player who I think was really having a damn good year up to that point, and I think kind of got overlooked that we really were missing that guy for sure.
No, absolutely. Shout out to D'Artuan Bush. Still out in Lubbock. I know a bunch of people listening to this pod probably already see him in the grocery store. He's just kicking it out there. But shout out to D'Artuan for sure.
Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah, Bradley, something else I'm not sure that a lot of like Red Raider fans remember is that you were splitting time between football, between Texas Tech football, and between playing minor league baseball in the summer until your senior season, you decided to focus completely on Tech, right? What was that like? I mean, balancing two different sports throughout the whole year, and really what brought you to the decision to say, you know what, like, it's got to be Texas Tech all the way?
Yeah, going into it, obviously, I got literally the first week when I got to Tech. I had a phone call coming. When I first got to Tech, I got drafted while my first week at Tech. We were doing our little summers training camp and stuff like that, summer workouts. And I come back to my locker. I was just drafted in the 16th round. Anyways, go out through all that. We're trying to see if I was going to go baseball full-time, football. Ended up, they decided to do the dual sport contract where I was able to play in the summers for the minor league and then come back after 2.5 months and be ready for football in the fall. And so did that for 2 years. The first year it was a little tricky, you know, because you get into springtime. Now I'm doing spring football. I'm going into my second year at this point, and I'm trying to still have to balance playing baseball as well, or at least practice baseball, hitting off a machine. So the Texas Tech baseball program, they allowed me to use the facilities and stuff, so I would go after practices or workouts and stuff. And Jamadric Magruder was actually still there playing, and me and Jamadric grew up together playing travel ball in Odessa. Up until he moved to Dallas, I think we were like 12 or 13. So he's a good friend of mine. We always obviously got to link back up at Texas Tech. And so he used to help me work out, get me back ready to, you know, to go to that minor league season. And I went to that first one. And, you know, it's rough, you know, just trying to get ready for it, prepare for it. And then, you know, you're only there for 2.5 months. So by the time I start figuring it out, it's like, hey, got to get ready to go back to football. So did that for 2 years. Enjoyed it. I balanced it a lot better the second year, but you know, going into that last year, it was my senior year. I was going to be a captain on the team, and I just felt like another reason that people probably don't know is I wanted to finish school. I wanted to finish in December as soon as the season was over. I didn't want to go until that, you know, when football's over my senior year and then have to train for the pro day combine in the springtime. I didn't want to do that. I was like, I strictly want to be done with school. So I needed to take those 6 hours my senior year in the summer. So I took 6 in the first summer session, 6 in the second to be able to set myself up for 12 hours left to graduate in December. So I was like, man, it just makes sense. I need to get this degree. I need to knock it out because I don't want to have to balance it later on. Baseball will still be there, and I'm going to be a captain on this team. I need to be here for the summer. I need to enjoy this last, you know, little ride in college. So did school, did all that, and that's kind of the reason my focus. Also, you know, injuries and stuff, just wanted to avoid that too. So just wanted to get my full focus, man, to the University of Texas Tech. You know, I love it. That was my second home. So I just wanted to buckle down with that and worry about baseball later.
You did 12 hours in the summer?
Yeah, I did six in the first summer. So, yeah, so I took 2 classes and then 2 classes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it sucked.
Bro,
it absolutely sucked. It was the worst, but I knew I had. I was like, because I still
That's
wanted
elite,
my
bro.
Fall
That's
to be
elite.
12 hours. I didn't want to take 15 in the fall because football, you know, it takes up time. So I was like, man, I'd rather just beat myself up for these 2 summers and figure it out from there. Was able to get through it for sure.
I spent way too many summer days in the courtyard pool to be doing 12 hours of summer school.
Hey, it's called balance. Yeah. It's called balance. I spent some time out there. Come on, I was going to enjoy the last little ride of the summer, senior season.
I didn't want to put you out there like that, but I know you. I know you was out there. I seen you, but
yeah, I'm not at the pool. Yeah, hiding from it.
Hey, so Bradley knows balance, but he also knows how to bet on his future. That's what it's all about, people. And who better to bet on your future with than Adam Goldman, the franchise coach? Adam is a friend of the pod, a Red Raider alum, and he wants to elevate your future. With over a decade of franchise experience, you can trust that Adam Goldman knows how to put you in the driver's seat of your American dream. And to sweeten the deal, he says that you ain't got to pay a penny until he's paid. That is awesome. No consultation fees, no risk to plan for a brighter future. So what are you waiting for? Get in touch with Adam today at franchisecoach.net. Put your life and your career back into your own hands.
That's right. It's like what, exactly what Brad did. He put his career in his own hands, right? We were just talking about how he was able to buckle down in school. After that, Brad, you were able to sign with the St. Louis Rams, with them for a little bit of time before going on with the Detroit Lions. How was that? First of all, when you were with the Rams, you had a Red Raider teammate on the team, Cody Davis. He was on the team with you. He had two Red Raiders. For a little bit, I'm like, yo, the Rams are my team. Like, I know, you know, it's St. Louis, but that's my team for a little bit. You got two Red Raiders on there. How was just the professional life for you?
Yeah, it was awesome. Cody was instrumental for sure as in that beginning process, seeing special teams, you know, realizing, you know, special teams is going to be your way in, especially for an undrafted guy. You can play special teams. They'll find a way. You can, you know, find your way into a lineup maybe you know, whatever side, offense or defense. And Cody kind of showed me that, and he just kind of took me under his wing. You know, I've already played with him. I knew him, obviously. So it was easy in that aspect. And so he got me in with the guys. So it was never really that rookie moment. They kind of, you know, took care of me, so to speak, especially that special teams core that they had there and being as good as they were. So they just, you know, plug and play with me, and I was able to fit in really nice with those guys. And, man, that was some of the best times of my life, just because it's all ball at this point. You're not doing school, you know, it's way easier. You know, I'll always say being a student athlete, a Division I program, or probably any at any level, is the toughest thing. You're literally a full-time athlete and a full-time student, and I don't think people realize that. The programs are doing just as much as an NFL team is, and you're going to throw a whole 12 hours, 15 hours on top of that, study halls, exams. I mean, it's a beast. So as soon as once it was just all NFL, man, it was a lot better just to focus on that. You knew what you had to do. You're an adult at this point. And those guys took care of me, and I was able to, like I said, you know, special teams was my way, and, you know, was able to make some plays on offense whenever I was able to get in. Was able to play with Wes Welker there for the, you know, second half of my rookie year. That was awesome. That's probably one of the coolest moments I probably had in my career, was to be able to share a meeting room and the field with, locker room with, for, you know, whatever 2 months it was. It was a great time. So I enjoyed it. The Rams organization is awesome. John Fossil, like I said before, special teams was amazing. And so, man, I owe it all to them. I have no ill will with the Rams whatsoever. We cut ties on good terms and everything like that. It just bad timing, that point in time. But, man, love the Rams organization. So I was happy to see them, you know, take the chip this year as well. I still got guys that I played with on the team. So super stoked about that.
That's so, I will say, so another podcast, The Pivot, it has some ex-NFL players on there. Mm-hmm. Garrett Wilson was recently on there, and he was talking about, as a rookie receiver, he was like, yeah, man, I'm really excited about the rookie receiver
dip. I saw that one, too.
So I know you said that Cody, there wasn't too many, you know, rookies events happening with you because you had Cody on your side. But I know there has to be some story you got for us.
So they did. I had Tavon Austin, Kenny Britt, Brian Quick, Stedman Bailey, Chris Givens. Those are, I think, the six that we broke camp with that year. And I was the only rookie, and I'm undrafted. So they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to get you, Brad. You know, as soon as we do the dinner, we're going to get you. And then it was like Stedman and Chris Givens. They're like, come on, man. We can't do Brad like that, man. Like he's an undrafted. He ain't got Todd Gurley money, because Todd Gurley was on our team, too. He's like, he ain't got Todd Gurley money. He can't take the receivers in. Chris instead. And then they're like, all right, we'll pitch in with you, whatever. And so what happened, though, was, that's when all the L.A. stuff kind of came, because you usually kind of do it like right at the end of the season or whatever, or right at training camp or OTAs and stuff for the following year. And what happened, we're everyone's moving to L.A. at this time. So I kind of got forgot about. And so nobody – I never did a rookie dinner. Then. Okay. Like I kind of escaped.
So you never had to shell out $10,000, $20,000 for the dinner?
They would get people, man. I remember seeing it, and I got so lucky because we were just transitioning from the L.A. Like, now everybody's trying to look for out. And, like, nobody was really worried about dinners and stuff like that. We're trying to get set up in L.A. We don't know what's going on. Where's the facility? Where do we live? Because that's usually when you do it after your rookie season at the end. And so I guess they forgot about it. I obviously wasn't going to say nothing about it. But so, yeah. Yeah. So I got away with it. So the year after that, you know, there's always rookies and stuff like that. That year I just so happened to be the only one, and I was undrafted. So they kind of, I guess, were going to look after me anyways. But any year after that I played and I was a vet and we would do the dinners, I would have hit those rookies over the head, like, with what I was getting. It was reasonable with what I was getting, because I'm like, man, I never had to do one myself, but I'm not going to just, exploit you guys doing this. So I always kept that in mind.
Yeah, yeah.
But the only, probably the rookie, if you say any kind of hazing, so to speak, was I had to take Popeyes on the plane every away game. I had to bring Popeyes chicken for all the receivers. And that was my deal. It was usually around like $75 or something. And we would practice. We'd do it. That was nothing. But it was just kind of the inconvenience of you got to get ready at the facility because you got a little walkthrough, and then you got to go back, change, get in your suits or whatever, get to the plane, whatever. But then I would have to go take off and get Popeyes and come back. So I ended up finding a system. To have my wife, or my girlfriend at the time, but my wife now, we got a little system where I was like, hey, we should end about this. As soon as I call you, when you get done, stop by the Popeyes, pick it up, bring it to the facility so I don't have to go. So we would do that. And so we got in the rhythm, and there was 1 week, I don't know where we were going, but she comes, she brings the food, great, give it to the vets. And Kenny Britt's like, he's like, Rook, he said, where's the honey for the biscuits? And I said, oh, man, I don't know. There's no honey in the bag, I guess. So I called my wife. I'm like, hey, you didn't get no honey for the biscuits? How the hell am I going to eat these dry-ass biscuits without the honey, bro? They just gave me shit the entire trip. And I'm like, damn, I'm never going to forget this honey again. So I started getting a little bottle with the little bag of honey. I just take it with me. So I never have that would never happen again.
Oh, that's funny.
And everybody knows what you talk about with the dry biscuits. It's so
real.
Man.
Yeah, they were hot about that one.
The biscuits delicious, but it's dry as hell. Goodness gracious.
For sure.
So what's life been like for you lately? Since your NFL playing days, what's it been like?
Well, obviously, once NFL got done, I went and went back to the minor leagues. I played some single-A ball in Columbia, South Carolina there for a little bit. But at this point, got a wife, kid. They're on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. And I was like, man, after a while, I enjoyed it. You know, I'm chasing the dream, but just realized it wasn't for me. I was like, man, I need to start getting into my second career, you know, figure out what I'm going to do next type deal. So ended up getting back in oil field sales out here in West Texas and started doing that until COVID hit. That slowed everything. So then I started doing a little bit of insurance with that as well. But in the process of doing all that, I've been working on, you know, opening up my bar restaurant in downtown Odessa. So hopefully that'll be in the next few months with COVID and everything slowing all that stuff down and a lot of other little factors that happen. Just kind of been doing some odd and things here and out, like I said, in the area. So looking forward to that opening up for sure.
So it sounds like you're trying to be the king of Odessa. That's what I'm hearing.
Nah. Oil, insurance, and liquor. There he is.
Yeah, a little bit of everything, man. I'm dabbling into it all.
Hey, let me know if you need a chef at that bar restaurant. But let's as an alum of Texas, yeah, bro. As an alum of Texas Tech football, as a podcaster who covers all the talent out there in the basin, like, let's talk about this era of Coach McGuire. This is big energy. This is big recruiting momentum. You mentioned it earlier. This is a big everything kind of personality that has settled in West Texas. And what he has said is that he'll die here, right? That's big. Those big words, especially for Red Raiders hearing that. That's like, we like that because we haven't got a lot of that lately. You know, what are your thoughts about Coach McGuire and his fit at Texas Tech?
I think it's great. I mean, obviously all the love he's been getting. I was able to meet him when he came down for the Midland luncheon that they do every year, and was able to meet him in person and listen to him speak in person and the energy that he has, and just all the alumni, just, man, super stoked about it. I think he brings the right energy. He's the right guy for the job. Obviously doing a great job recruiting. I think that's where it starts. We got to get guys to Lubbock. I think Lubbock gets a bad stigma of, you know, I played with Tavon Austin and Stedman Bailey, and they always talk crap about when they went to Lubbock. I mean, and we beat them, obviously, on national TV and stuff. But they're like, man, there ain't nothing to do out there in Lubbock. It's dry as shit. We walk in, and there's,
All right, talk about this biscuit.
Yeah, it's a Popeye's biscuit, right?
Real quick, Brett, I live on the East Coast now. I'm not too far from Morgantown. They have no reason to talk when they go out when their school is Morgantown, West Virginia.
I said the same thing, and I said, first of all, how much were they paying y'all? Because how they get guy from Baltimore and guy from Miami, two guys from Miami to go to Morgantown? I mean, come on, man. There ain't nothing to do over there. And so, anyways, that's another story. But, yeah, they used to hate on Lubbock. But I think that's the biggest thing. We got to get these recruits out of there. You know, that, like I said, that stigma is that nothing's in Lubbock. There's nothing to do. It's not Austin. It's not Dallas and all that. Once you get out here, you'll feel it's a college town. And the support that you get out here is second to none. And guys that I've talked to that I played with, they hate playing in Lubbock, playing against us in Lubbock because, you know, that's how our fans are. They're ruthless. And I love that part about Lubbock. And so we just got to get the guys down there, visits and all that. And I think Coach McGuire's doing a great job with that. You know, obviously you see the third the great things basketball and baseball have been doing, and you got coaches that are most likely going to be, obviously, Tadlock's going to already long-term, a lifetimer, and now, you know, Mark Adams is obviously working his way into that as well. That guys that aren't going to leave, they're going to name these stadiums after these guys. So I think McGuire fits the mold of what we need out here in West Texas to stay here and keep be that staple that the community needs in Lubbock. And like I said, he's off to a great start so far, you know, and I'm looking forward to the season for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds like he's about to put your – you are right, 2011 class is the greatest recruiting class of all time, but it sounds like you only got about one more year to be able to
I hope so, because it's like, man, I mean, that was 2011. You'd think we'd continue to, you know, get even better, you know, classes. We don't want to be the best class in Texas history for a long period of time. You know, we're all alumni. We want to see us win too. And just to see that energy now that's surrounding the baseball program and the basketball program, I've gone to games – I try to go a couple every year, and that energy in those stadiums, man, it's amazing. You know, we're national team now, you know, and I feel like our football team, we've obviously taken step back, but I think now we start going forward and we climb up the ladder and we start side by side like we should be with our baseball and, you know, our basketball programs the way they are.
I love that. Well, let me tell you something. We are grateful that you've been with us today, Bradley, but we are all out of tortillas, which means it is now time for some takes, brother.
All right.
We're going to put you on the hot seat here. Think about it like a gauntlet drill. There's going to be quick hit questions, and the only rule, there's one rule, is that you can say whatever you want. You just can't defend your answer. Are you ready? Because I'm going to let Albie put you in the blender here.
Okay,
let's go.
Let's go.
All right. Who is the best wide receiver in the NFL right now?
Devontae Adams.
Hey, great pick. Who is the best player you've ever played with?
At the time or now? Like, who? Cooper Kupp's probably the best one that I've played with.
You heard it here. Brad Marquez says Cooper Kupp is better than Pat Mahomes. You heard it here first.
Did you say receiver or football player?
I said player.
Football player, brother.
Listen.
I was on a receiver train right now. I thought you were doing a receiver. No.
You've already asked the question.
All right. It's stamped
now. Come on, man. That's all right. Dude,
I think you said that. We'll just cut.
I was locked in on the receiver thing. That's the only reason why. Yeah. For sure, Mahomes. cut that one. Patience.
What city is better, St. Louis, Detroit, or L.A.?
L.A., by far.
Jeremy, why'd you put this question in here?
Brother, because if the answer is, you know, there'd be a Popeye's chicken biscuit in there. We've got to figure it out.
Which NCAA team do you hate the most?
Texas.
Smart man. Which NFL team do you hate the most?
The Detroit Lions.
We actually did. You know what's funny? We're going to keep going. Favorite music artist?
Drake.
If you could change the outcome of any game during your time at Tech, which one would it be?
That OU game that would have put us 8-0.
I figured that was going to be the answer for that one. Jordan or LeBron?
LeBron all day.
I think you're the first one to answer LeBron. Jeremy, I think so. We got to play back to tape. So. I think Brad, you're the first one. Give us the worst college town in the Big 12.
Probably Morgantown. It's just a bus ride to the stadium and all that. Yeah, I can't defend my answers, but yeah, Morgantown.
If you couldn't watch football or baseball for the rest of your life, what other sport are you watching?
I'm going to give you two. Either basketball or F1 racing, the Formula One race. Cause I know nobody gives that tape, but I love watching F1. I've gotten into it. So,
so before we get into that, last but not least, corn or flour tortillas?
Flour. Unless I'm trying to lose weight, I get some corn.
There we go, man. There it is. We thank you very much, Brad, for coming on the podcast. I gotta say though, I've never been into Formula One. I didn't really care for it. Didn't watch a race. Then I binged 4 seasons of Drive to Survive in like 2 weeks, and now I'm locked in. I'm all Lewis Hamilton, Mercedes. Let's get it. Right? Can't stand Max Verstappen or Red Bull.
Nope,
can't. You know, just man, I'm in it.
Hey, we're in the same camp then for sure. Because I feel the same exact way. I was able to go to my first race last year at COTA, there in Austin. 400,000 people over the weekend. And, man, it was nuts. And yeah, it's everything. It's awesome. I'm going again this year too. So.
Bradley, where can they find you and your podcast on Twitter?
Podcast at Bullcorn Sports 1 on Twitter. On all streaming service platforms, Bullcorn Sports. Just type in 3 separate words. Bullcorn Sports, Spotify, Apple, all that. And then, you know, my Twitter handle, BradMarquez_4 on everything else. But yeah, Bullcorn Sports, you guys, we put out 1 episode a week. And I appreciate you guys. You tune in, and we'll have some more takes on there as well. And we'll have to invite you guys on there for sure.
There you go. Facts. For sure. Big facts. And we'll have to get Loic on there so we can continue the tradition.
Right.
Hey, for the ever-charming Bradley, for Albie, this is Jeremy. You have been listening to the official podcast of Red Raider Sports, part of the 1012 Network. That is Tortillas and Takes. Stay wrecked, people.
Sports Social Podcast Network.